Ready to go? Good. Good, good. I have the pleasure of being at a prayer meeting one night this week, Thursday night this week. And during that prayer meeting, because some of the news about Israel had just come out, we began to pray in. And in that time, I went into a part sort of vision thing, and I saw myself and I saw a whole lot of angels going in and beginning to sabotage bombs and missiles, pulling the wires out, basically just starting to wreak some havoc in the enemy's camp. And that was really cool, prayed into it, released angels into that. And after the meeting, and the whole meeting was wonderful, but after the meeting, I received this text message. Now, this is from Kimberly, our daughter, and she's talking about her 7-year-old son. On Thursday, the 1st of August, 2024, we were at a homeschool class all day, and after, when we got home, little Wesley came up to me and said, "Mum, today I felt odd, like voices were talking to me on the inside." I asked him, "What were the voices saying?" He said, "They were asking me to pray. It kind of felt like a buzzing or a vibration on the inside, and I kept feeling them say, 'Pray for Israel, pray for Israel, there are bombs.'" Now, this is Kim speaking. She said, "I was aware of the Israel situation with Iran at this time, so we started discussing it together. I asked him to pray and ask what he was meant to do with the bombs. He paused for a moment and said he had to pull them apart to stop them from being launched or else that or cause them to misfire. So we did it in the spirit. We prayed, and in the spirit and physically we acted out, ripping open bombs and destroying them." Then he said before bed, "Mum, I think I might have more dreams tonight." So I asked him, "Do you know what to do if you have more dreams?" He said, "Yes, I'll wake up and pray and ask God what to do." The next morning he came to me and said, "I had more dreams about bombs and missiles, Mum." I asked him what he did, and he said, "I prayed and then I ripped them apart. And I also saw angels ripping them apart too." He had more the following night and did the same. Okay. This is what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about training up children in prophetic intercession. We're talking about how we can work as adults with children who are experiencing things. But also, if you've got a prophetic bone in your body, there'll be some things tonight that as we talk about, you'll understand yourself better as well, I trust. So what I want to talk about first off is how to recognize a prophetic child. So there are certain tendencies of prophetic children. One of the things that you'll notice if you have a prophetic child is they often have a strong sense of justice. They recognize injustice and they may become very indignant. "It's not fair" is something that will often come out of their mouth. They know and recognize instinctively. Take time to recognize this and investigate if they're insistent. Why is this thing not fair? Why does it not feel fair to you? And begin to dig and pull that out of them, because this whole sense of injustice and what's right and what's not right is intrinsic to them. It's within them. Sometimes they'll just know something's not fair. They can't actually explain why, but they feel it. They are often fearless, all right? Now, they're sensitive to people. They may often feel other people's pain, and that links them with the sense of justice, and it can have a strong sense of empathy, a strong sense of atmospheres around people, and can sense the demonic around a person, but not have words for it. Sometimes a child will just say, "I don't like them." And that person's heart may have never even spoken to them before, and this child, "I don't like them. I don't want to be in the room with them." Now, as a parent, you can knuckle down on this and say, "Oh, no, well, we've got to do this, we've got to do that," and not actually take the time to find out why and what they're sensing and what they're feeling. And it's important to ask the why. It's important to actually give them space to try and process it, because often they just don't have the words straight away. It can lead, this kind of sensing can lead to the avoidance of people's homes and shops because of the people there. And this is the beginning of prophetic intercession. Because we need to sense things to be able to go in and pray and prophesy and shift atmospheres. I mean, first of all, we've got to sense things. They're very sensitive to atmospheres. It's a little bit different, but it's adding on to. So they're sensitive to people and atmospheres around people. Now, I'm speaking from experience. I've had my children, I've had my grandchildren just come out and say, I don't like them, and I don't know why. I've had dogs. I've had animals. Who's ever had an animal that just instinctively doesn't like something? I think sometimes animals will pick up the demonic or whatever, an atmosphere around a person, and even though that person may appear okay, that animal is actually sensing the atmosphere around them. Anyway, I digress. Sensitive to atmospheres. Now, our daughter Danielle, as a little girl, very, very sensitive to atmospheres, still is. And she's very prophetic. And there used to be a shop in Riccarton Mall, Westfield Mall, and it sold crystals and things, and it was down sort of opposite Miller's, if anyone knows where, down there. Anyway, well, to try and walk down that walkway with Danielle was next to impossible. I remember one time walking, and she literally had, so the shop's over the other side, she literally had her back up against like where Miller's is, and was going like this with her back pressed against the glass of Miller's, because to try and get past that shop that sold incense and crystals and everything. I mean, she was little. She was probably 3 or 4 at the time. And it was sometime, and I thought, what is wrong with this child? And it was sometime later, they actually put a sign up on the front of their window. Any of you around at the time, they put a sign up saying, clairvoyant, available, readings done, da 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 da. Now, that I would suggest, and I think at the time I thought, I bet you they were already doing that. They were already into that stuff. And this little kid could feel it, could feel the atmosphere. As a child, I used to cry and be depressed when we went and visited my Auntie May. Now, Auntie May lived in a rest home. It wasn't that I didn't like Auntie May. It was just something about going in there as a little kid. It would just make me feel really terribly sad and terribly lonely. But I wasn't lonely myself, but I would feel those emotions. However, when I visited my grandmother, who was the same age as Auntie May, who lived in her own home, I never felt those feelings. And it wasn't until I began to look into that, I thought, I was picking up on the emotions and the feelings in that place as a little child. And so sometimes with prophetic children, you'll find that there's a resistance to go somewhere. They can't put it into words, but they're feeling and sensing very strongly about something's not right here, or the place is full of grief, or whatever it is. Now, I've seen children become argumentative and narky when they've walked into a home where there's just been an argument. Sometimes children will act out an environment because they haven't got the words, but they sense the environment, or there's still that sort of aggressive or argumentative or something atmosphere in that home, and they will actually act it out. And they'll be perfectly all right. You go in the door, you might feel something as an adult, but Junior just starts losing the plot. So it's taking the time to investigate is really one of the keys. We're going to bring up a parental key now, the first one. Work on communication with your children. Ask the questions, what are you feeling? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? Is there something you want to ask me about? If we can explore this with our children, give them time, or the child that you're working with, whatever, you can begin to pull that out of them. And it might not be that they're frightened or grumpy, or it might not be that they're hungry. It might be that they actually feel, I felt angry when I walked in here. Okay. Now the next step is taking, when you've finished, or whenever it's appropriate, then taking that child aside and say, okay, let's pray for those people. Let's pray into that atmosphere, what you were feeling. God showed you it because we can do something about it. So you turn it into an activation and an empowerment, but it's training them up of how to process. You were feeling right. So you endorse it. You were feeling right. Okay, well, this is what we do now. Let's pray for Mrs. So-and-so and Mr. Hoo-ha, and let's Let's see God move in their marriage. Let's see God move in the situation. So teach them to pray into it, comfort them, support them, and empower them. You okay? All right. Now, children will often see into the spiritual realm. So, as far as I'm concerned, many, many cases of what they commonly call night terrors are actually children seeing into the spiritual realm. So, I mean, I know, again, talking about Kimberly, but I know one of the kids, I can't remember which one it was now, would see stuff in the night, and Kim ended up saying, okay, well, we've got to do something about this. And so she got a whole lot of warfare scriptures for the child. They would get up in the middle of the night, speak those things out, and then the child would see the evil beings or whatever that they were seeing, they'd see them just go, they'd see them flee. And so then after a bit, Kim didn't have to get up in the night anymore. The child would say to them at breakfast, oh, by the way, I dealt with the spirit of this in the night. Great. Done, you know. And so, night terror, seeing demons and witches, the key is to empower them as to what to do so they don't shut down the gift. That is something that you see commonly. Children seeing stuff when they are little, getting so frightened that they actually shut down that whole part, that sensitized part of their imagination and their heart, because they're frightened to see anything at all. So what we do as parents, we guide them. We guide them in the process and we make sure they know that they are empowered to do something about it. So, the parental key, next parental key, teach them their identity in Christ, who they are, the authority they have, and the power in the name of Jesus. Of course, as adults, we need to know that ourselves, first of all, to be able to pass it on. But that's what we do. So let's just look at some scriptures, which I'm sure you will know, but these are some of the ones that I've used with my kids. Isaiah 43:1. But now, so says Jehovah, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. So instilling that into the child, that God knows you and you are his. It's getting that strong foundation. So when they see things, sense stuff, they know who they are. They know that they are God's and he knows them. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us, you know, God has given us a spirit of fear, but love, power and love and a sound mind. So I would have my children walking around going, I have power. I have power. God has given me power. I have power. I'd write it up on the fridge. I'd write it on the blackboard because we homeschool for a bit. And get it coming out of their mouth, out of their head, out of their head, out of their mouth, and have it around as well. So it's just, if something scary happens, they sense something in the spirit. That's what comes, that's what Holy Spirit can use to bring up in their mind. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue rises up against you, and judgment you shall condemn. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I will win. I will win. That's a great thing to write up for your child to be declaring and walking around the house. Make up little ditties. If you're musical at all, make up a little song about I will win. I have power. I will win. You can make up little things that your kids can begin to speak and then use as their weapons, all right? Empowering them to be able to enter into the intercession and the prophetic that God has for them. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. God is greater than the devil. Ha! I used to get my kids saying that and then laughing at the end. It's getting the attitude right, the heart right, as I talked about, I know something recently, and I said about David, it was position and attitude. He knew that God with him was bigger than the enemy in front of him. Therefore, he ran. Attitude and position. It's getting our attitude lined up, our understanding lined up, getting the children's attitudes lined up so they know they're bigger because God is with them. Therefore, they can fight as a warrior. There's no baby Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. I have mighty weapons. That's another statement to have there. So know your own authority is important. When I read the book, The Name of Jesus by Kenneth Hagin, I used to have these dreams, and for years I had them. I was being chased. And I would wake up and I would be just drenched with sweat, and I would and the tension, my heart pounding, it was just awful. Running and running and running, leaping over fences and all sorts of stuff with these beings behind me. Read that book, The Name of Jesus, and it just brought me into a whole new place of knowing my authority in Christ and the name of Jesus. And I dreamt the dream. It was sometime where I don't even finish the book, when I had the dream that I'd had for years. And in the dream, I turned round and I said to these things that had chased me for probably 30 years in my night, this recurring nightmare, "You can go in the name of Jesus." And when I said the name of Jesus, these things just gone. Never had the dream ever since. But know your own authority. Getting your kids to know their own authority can just nip stuff. It can just deals with it. So, next key. Soak your home atmosphere. I love to have worship music playing in our home. I understand that some here, your partner, might, your spouse might not be saved. And providing a safe place for your prophetic child might be tricky. But I think there's always a way. Whether you train them to go into somewhere in nature, you teach them that there's a safe place they can go with God, and you make sure that there's a safe place for that prophetic child to go, a nurturing environment that they can go into where they feel safe. Teach them to look beyond. Now, this is a teaching that Dan McCollum had, which I thought was great, and he had to use it with one of his kids that was seeing angels and demons and things regularly and getting completely freaked out. And he said, okay, what is beyond, what is behind that big demon that you see coming towards you? What's behind it? And then when the child looked, he'd see an even bigger angel behind the demon. And I did this with one other kid and one child, and I said, what do you see behind? And they started laughing. I said, what do you see? There's a huge angel with a great big sledgehammer, and they're going to smash him over the head. And they laughed and laughed and laughed. And so teaching a child to look, what is God going to do? Look beyond. Train a child to look beyond, not just focus on the demonic stuff that they're seeing. So you ask Holy Spirit to show them where the angels are, and then get them to ask Holy Spirit, where are the angels and what are you about to do, God? So we've got, teach them to look beyond. Very good. Next one, don't diminish what they're seeing. Even if you can't see it as a parent, it's so important to not diminish, not to make them feel small, not to say, well, this is just your imagination. This is my experience. God has given us our imagination. That's how he shows us things regularly. When we give our lives to Jesus, we give all of ourselves to him. Mind, spirit, body. Imagination is part of your mind. When you're wanting to see in the spirit, you're asking the Holy Spirit like to draw on the whiteboard of your mind. Okay? So with children, how many times had I been told, oh, it's just your imagination, but then things would come to pass. So don't diminish what they're seeing, even if you can't see it. Do spiritual warfare with them, empower them, and listen to them. So tell them how to pray, how to get through it. And practice spiritual warfare. Before something scary happens, let's do this with the kids. We had puppets, right? Hand puppets. So, before something scary happens, teach them, or there's one way of doing it anyway. You can have two toys, two puppets, and one puppet is being intimidating. I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you. No, you're not. I've got the name of Jesus. Ah, ah, and runs away. Okay. Thank you. Better if I had the puppets. But the thing is, practice and play those games when it's safe. Then when they have the dreams or they see the thing, they know what to do. It comes back. But practice it and have fun with it in a safe time. All right. It works. Believe me, it works. Where am I up to? Let me just find out. Parental key, another key. Protect the eye and the ear gate. I just touched on the imagination before. But honestly, no horror movies in your homes, please. Please be careful of the images that are around. Beware of music lyrics that are ungodly with worldly themes. You know, they might be fine. You may have five children that are all absolutely fine with something, and the next child is very sensitive, prophetic nature, and they just can't handle it. So be very aware of that. Kimberly's got children that are very, very sensitive, and other ones that couldn't care less. You know, one little girl that used to walk around the house with dun, 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 you know, I think she was three. And she delighted in anything scary, and that was a Darth Vader theme song, if you didn't pick it up. And sorry, Grant. And it was like, I couldn't believe it, you know, because this child is just, the whole attitude was absolutely fine. But somebody else in the family, they couldn't handle even the theme music of Star Wars. So I used to burst into tears at the theme music of Bambi. I didn't even need to know this story that went. So you've got different levels of sensitivity, and be aware of that in your home. You may need to modify all family viewing because you need to protect them. And as I said before, imagination is like a whiteboard. It needs to be clean for the images to be clear. Ephesians 1:18. It starts off with, I'm making mention of you in my prayers, that, Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding are enlightened. Now that word understanding there means deep thought, imagination, and mind. So our imagination being enlightened. That's what he's praying for. So we pray for our children's imagination to be enlightened. We pray for our own imagination to be enlightened. As prophetic people, people desiring to grow in the prophetic, Lord, enlighten my imagination, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of his glory, and his inheritance of his saints, Ephesians 1:19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So one of the things in our imagination is to understand the exceeding greatness of his power. One of the things to meditate and to have our children meditating on is the exceeding greatness of his power. What does that look like? What does mighty power towards you look like? Think about it, dream about it, talk about it with the children. Now, if a child is exposed to stuff, then I'm talking about going to a friend's house and there they're watching something that there's no way in a million years you'd have in your house. What do you do? One, encourage them to talk about it when you get home. What did you see? How did it make you feel? Okay. We understand that God can clean our imagination, can heal us. So you break off trauma in Jesus' name, and you just ask Holy Spirit now to flood their mind with things that are good, things that are lovely, all of those things, and just wash their mind right now. And so you just pray and you minister and you clean them up, just like they've been playing in a mud puddle. Except you do it in the spirit. You're cleaning them up, you're healing them up, you're bandaging them up. And then again, if you possibly can, get some good worship music going. Get something that fills your home with that nice feeling of it being a sanctuary for your prophetic child. Give them good and lovely things to think on. Parental key, share the good news. Regularly share good stories, Bible heroes, Christian heroes, testimonies, and victories to build up their faith. Focus on the goodness of God, on his power, on our power, on his and our authority. That's quite a mouthful, but I think you get the gist. There is so much negative talk. Even within families can get together for it's a picnic or a barbecue or whatever else. Adults get together, a church gathering, and there's conversations going on, and often people are not thinking of the little ears that are round about that cannot process what they are hearing. And sometimes they don't have the language to be able to say to you, I heard so-and-so talking about this and I'm freaking out. If a two-year-old doesn't have that language, but they can feel the tension. So, you know, we're going to work with this. We're going to share good news, the good stories about the people who were the victors, the things where God came through, broke through, so that our children have got all of these memories stored up to be able to draw on. I said before, there is no junior Holy Spirit, but they're learning to communicate what they're seeing and sensing and what to do about that. And so that's how we're going to train them. Help them to unpack it. Drawing it may help if they can't describe it. I found drawing with children is very, very helpful. But you may need to unravel the drawing. I think I may have told you before, but when, I think actually, Jackie, it was when I did something with the prophetic over with the children some years ago, and Lincoln was just little at the time. I was going through a personal battle, and I felt like I'd come up against a wall. That was what was going on in my life. Now, the activation that I had the children do was to go and to draw pictures of something that God was speaking to them about. Now, Lincoln came up to me with a piece of paper, and the whole thing was coloured in, like entirely from corner to corner to corner. And he said, "This is for you, Grandma." And I said, "What is it, Lincoln?" He said, "It's a wall." Now, I could have left it at that. I said, "And what about the wall, Lincoln?" He said, "Oh, Jesus is behind it, Grandma." And I said, "Okay, and do you know what Jesus is about to do?" "Oh yeah, he's got big boots on, he's about to kick it in." So drawing it was what he could do. I think he was probably 3 or something. He was just little, maybe 4. And so he was just little, but that's what he saw. But drawing out what, okay, it's a wall. I could have left it at that and thought, okay, I've got a picture of a wall. But ask further, ask the questions, keep drawing them out and see just what God is actually showing them. And you will be surprised. You'll be amazed. We've got some children here with us. Not a lot. I'm just going to code this for you. Be aware, be vigilant, and pray for them regularly. If you feel a check in your spirit regarding their physical safety, please follow it up. I could go into that more, but I won't if you want to talk to me personally about that. Enough said. Please follow it up if you feel a check concerning your prophetic child's safety. Follow it up. Okay, a tendency to rejection and isolation. Prophetic children see differently. They feel differently than their peers. They talk about Bible heroes. They see differently. They feel differently to their peers. Do talk about Bible heroes and how they may have coped. David was alone with his sheep. How did he cope? What did he do up there? He wrote Psalms. He sang to the Lord. So show them how other people cope with the feeling of isolation or being in isolation. Train them on that. Listen and pray for them. Teach them coping mechanisms. Connecting with nature can be really key. Developing creativity and soaking in worship. Then another thing that is really helpful is help them to connect with a prophetic friend. Now, how do you find a prophetic friend? Amongst their peers, there may be somebody that you see that is a child that's quieter, that feels deep, that feels different, just a little bit different. Try to explore and get to know that child a little bit more and just see if they're actually carrying a prophetic gifting, and they may be a great child to buddy up with your child who's also deep and sensitive. When you've got that, then you be the adult in the picture and you organise the play dates. You help to initiate and nurture this friendship of this person that understands your child. They can understand one another on a different level. That's something that you can do. Another parental key, here we got, teach them how to forgive and how to love. What rejection is, that feeling that they feel, that's called rejection. Well, I mean, you're going to put language to the feelings that they feel. How to refocus on their identity in Christ. Try not to be overprotective with your child. They need to grow and sense negative environments. It's actually important. It's part of growing up. If you just try to protect this child all the time, they won't learn how to cope. And learning to cope and how to process is really important. I had to learn how to love. I used to go around and say, God, well, for years actually, I would say, how would Wesley respond to this person? Because Wesley was very pastoral and I was very prophetic. And I would, honestly, I'd go around thinking, how would Wesley say this? How would Wesley respond to this person? Because he would do it intuitively. And I had to learn how to love. It's not that I didn't love people, but how to show it, learn how to show that love was actually part of my journey. So asking God, how do you feel about this person? You can teach your child how to do that. And how does God love that person? 1 Corinthians 13:2, and if I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith and could move mountains but have never learned to love, then I am nothing. A prophet often has to learn to love. Okay. So, just a couple more points and we'll hand over to Noah. There is a tendency, I touched on this morning, for family gifting. So be aware of that and be looking out for that. 2 Timothy 1:5, as I think of your strong faith that has passed down through your family line. It began with your grandmother Lois, it passed on to your dear mother Eunice, and it's clear that you two are following in the footsteps of their godly example. We can track through our family, we can see of grandparents on both sides who were prophetic and carrying on and just seeing this gift. Now we can either work with that gift or it can remain almost like seed form within that child, or you can bring in understanding and training and nurture that gift and see them grow in their gifting and in their identity. But it's something that, like, it comes as a bonus to them. So be aware and be looking out as a parent or a grandparent, auntie, uncle, whatever you are, be aware that these giftings often will flow down family lines. Of course, we know that we can ask for the giftings ourselves. We don't have to rely on it being the family line. But if there is a gifting already in the family line, be aware that it's highly likely that your children are going to have that in them and you can draw it out. The last point that I have is establish prayer partners that you can trust. A true godmother, godfather type relationship. They'll be interceding and praying for your family. Family with prophetic kids and partnerships for kids to hang out together and parents praying for each other's children. Nurture and war for these relationships. These are important relationships that will come under attack. Honestly, I heard someone say once, that the relationships that come under attack the most are often the key relationships that we need to look after and they're important for our future. Sometimes there's somebody that you just find, they just rile you up, or there's just contention comes against that relationship all the time. You fight for that relationship. Ask Holy Spirit, is this actually a key relationship for my future or for their future? And the reason there's all this demonic stuff that keeps hitting it is because the enemy knows, the enemy is wanting to shut that thing down and cut out the potential, okay? So there's just a few keys for helping raise prophetic children. Any more questions about anything, feel free. Again, we're going to focus on them understanding their identity in Christ, who they are and the authority that they have. I personally believe that if God shows you something, if you see something in a vision or in a dream, then it's because you've got the authority to do something about it. God doesn't show us bad stuff. I mean, people, they'd say, oh, I've got a sense that such and such is going to happen. My first question is, well, have you prayed into it that it won't? I'm saying about something negative, you know? Have you prayed? Because he's showing you because you have authority to cut that thing off at the knees. Now that's what you want to be able to, we want to be able to instill into our children as well. You've got authority, God is on your side, you have mighty weapons of warfare, God is showing you something. Don't just come at me and tell me you're just a kid. You've got a fully grown Holy Spirit in you. So come on, pick up your sword. Mummy and you are going to fight together. We're going to see the victory of this one. Hallelujah. Let's get excited already. This is the attitude we want, that they don't feel like they're being pushed around or being intimidated or anything else, but rather they are empowered by God to shift things and move things. So that's why I've got a 7-year-old grandson who's dismantling bombs in the spirit. Praise God. Okay, so we can do this together and we can see this next level of intercessors raised up empowered and equipped to be able to do the damage that they can do for the kingdom darkness. Okay, great. Thank you.